Thank you for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Hey, I'm glad that you decided to be here today. I don't know if you've ever had a week like this where you get to the weekend and then you realize, oh man, this is a holiday weekend. And that was this weekend for me, and it was like, oh, I could have done so much better. You know, you'd feel like you don't want to waste your holiday weekend. But I am glad that you decided to be here, because anytime we gather as the people of God to proclaim the glories of God, to praise His name, it is never wasted. God accepts our praise in Jesus, so thank you for being here. But I want to take a minute to just pray together before we dive into God's Word. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that you allow us to gather, that you accept our praise. Thank you that you give us others who encourage us to be more like Jesus. So Lord, this morning I know that some come in here and it's been a long week. I know there are others who come in here and the weekend hasn't been long enough. So we pray that as we come in with our baggage, as we come in with our hurt, that you would free us to worship you truly. That we would submit everything in our lives to you. That we would find hope in the gospel of Jesus this morning. I pray that you would take away all the distractions so that we may focus on what you are saying to us. Let your Holy Spirit move among us. Change our hearts so that we become more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not long ago, I was walking down the street and I saw this guy. And I think you have seen the type before. I'd call him like the doomsday type. You ever seen someone like this? He was scruffy. He was dressed a certain way. And he was holding up a sign. You've seen the sign before. It said, "The end is..." Yeah, you've seen it before, right? And so I'm trying to kind of avoid eye contact with him as I'm walking by. But as I'm walking by, he said something. I don't remember what it was, but it was a little offensive, a little mean. And I probably shouldn't have, but I snapped back with, "Dude, you have been saying the end is near for years. I can even see on your sign where you scratched out the part that said, 'And Y2K is the end.'" You know, so like, come on, don't say something to me. If you're young, I'm not even going to try to describe what Y2K is. So I said that to him, and without hesitating, he just fired back at me. And he said, "Well, you know what? Now the end is nearer than it has ever been before." And I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. So I grabbed a marker and made a sign that said, "The end is nearer," and I stood there beside him with it. Actually, none of that story is true. I just made it up. The end is near. You've heard it before. And the end is referring to the end of all time, the end of all things. In the Bible, sometimes this is referred to as the day of the Lord. It is when all people will be gathered in front of the throne of God, and He will judge everyone righteously. We are in a study of the book of Malachi right now, and we're calling this study Called to Holiness. Holy means set apart or divinely different. And we have seen how God is holy and how we, God's people, are called to be holy too. As we approach the end of this book, we are going to learn about the day of the Lord. Today, as we work our way through these three verses, we will see three encouragements about the day of the Lord. Three encouragements about the day of the Lord. So let's look at the first encouragement. This is the first one. The bad will end. The bad will end. A couple years ago, I was in New Orleans for a conference in the summer. And very, very important that you note it was in New Orleans in the summer. And I was happy to be there, staying at a hotel that was not too far from the conference center, maybe less than a mile, I would guess. But it was an interesting hotel in that the parking lot, it was gated, like had a tall fence around all of it. But what was interesting about it is they had these lights all over it. And they weren't just lights that, you know, illuminated the parking lot. They had the light, and then beside the light on each of these was a red light and a blue light. And it was constantly going back and forth like a police car. So it was like, well, that's interesting. Why would they have that? And then I saw they have cameras attached to these lights. So they're like police camera type things. I was like, okay, whatever. So I wake up one morning and go downstairs, and I see a guy who happened to be there with me. And he told me that in the middle of the night, his truck was broken into. And sure enough, they had busted out the window of his truck, and they were searching for things. Now, fortunately, they didn't take anything. But it was just like, wait, what on earth? That is strange. I realized that when I was talking to him that I was very late for the meeting that I was supposed to be at the conference center. I had slept too much, and I was like, okay, well, I got to go. So I grabbed a cup of coffee from the lobby, and then I start heading down to the conference center. So it's roughly a mile, maybe less, in New Orleans in the summer. So it is in the 90s outside, and I am walking fast to get there, and the humidity, I mean, I didn't check it, in the billions, I would assume. It was so hot and so humid. So I'm walking. You've had this experience before. You're walking, and you can just feel yourself becoming moist. You're like, oh, this is so disgusting. I mean, I even feel gross describing myself as moist, but I was just sweating and sweating and sweating, and pretty soon I'm drenched in sweat. And I'm thinking as I'm walking, this is awful. Here we are early in the day, and I am drenched in sweat. I smell awful. Of all the days not to wear deodorant, you know, I had to pick. No, I'm just kidding. I thought I was just going to smell for the rest of the day. And so I think I just need to get into the conference center. And I'm walking across the street, and as I'm walking, in my haste, I trip over the curb. And as I trip over the curb, I spill the coffee on my shirt and my shorts and my shoes. And of course it burned, you know, it's coffee, but worse than that, now I have coffee all over me. I'm just thinking, what kind of day is this? So I get in the conference center, and you know that sensation going from somewhere that's really hot to somewhere that's really cold, then you're angry that it's so cold. So I get in there, I'm like, you know, I just need to find the bathroom. If I can find the bathroom, I'll try to clean this stuff off of me. It'll be like a new start to my day. So it was a strange bathroom. It was one where the sign was out here. Yeah, you'll know what I'm talking about. The sign is out here, and then it's a hallway. And at the end of that hallway that's like 20, 25 feet long, there's this doorway on the right side that's open. There's no door there. And you just walk in, and you're in the bathroom. So I'm walking down that hallway, and I can see the mirror before I get into the bathroom where all the sinks are. And as I'm walking, looking at this mirror, I think, what? Why do these guys all have long hair? And why are some of them wearing dresses? And why is one of them putting on... Oh, this is the women's bathroom. That's why. And it was just like, what is going on? One bad thing... Maybe you've had a day like this, right? So I went back to the hotel and just slept for the rest of the day so nothing could go... Now, you've had a day like that where it's one bad thing after another bad thing after another bad thing. And all I could think was, when will the bad end? When will the bad end? You've thought that before. When will the bad end? Well, look with me at Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. This verse talks about the day of the Lord, and it describes how the arrogant and the wicked will be consumed. They will become stubble. They will be dust. In other words, the bad will end. And when you look around the world, you see the bad, don't you? When terrorists killed 1,100 people in Israel last year and committed crimes that are unspeakable, we can't even talk about them in here. That's bad. The 5,500 people that were killed last year just for being Christian, that's bad. The 1 million innocent babies that we murdered in this country last year, that's bad. And it's not just bad like, well, you know, bad things happen in the world. Like hurricanes come through and destroy things and wildfires ravage. It's just part of life. Bad things happen. It's not bad like that. These bad things are happening because bad people are doing them. And one of the worst things in the world to ever happen is pretty recent. It is that you are not allowed to call people bad. Have you realized this? You can't say someone's bad. Instead, there's always a reason why. There's always an explanation. There is always an angle as to why this person isn't actually bad. But that's not biblical. That's not what the Bible tells us. And you know that's not true. When you see someone do something wicked, something inside you cries out that they are bad. God uses a term, a phrase to describe people, and it's far worse than bad. And we've said this before, if ever you disagree with God, you are wrong and God is right. So here's what God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Certain people who commit sin without repentance, God says, are of the devil. Now, is the devil good or bad? We're in church, you know it. The devil is bad. And what God says is like him, those who commit sin without remorse are bad. The good news is that the bad will end. God will hurl his fiery judgment, his smoldering justice at the bad, and they will become stubble. They will be consumed. They will fall. The bad will end. But I know what you're feeling right now. You might be thinking, that's really mean. That makes me really uncomfortable. But this is good news. Don't you see it? It's good news because it means that there is justice in the world. It is good news because it means that wrongs will be righted. What's even better news than that is it says at the end of verse 1, not leaving them root or branches. That means that wickedness will not carry on anymore after the day of the Lord. It means that there will be no more bad forevermore. The bad will end and it won't come back. Isn't that encouraging? Have you ever thought about what won't be in heaven? And we think about heaven and we think about, you know, seeing people that have gone before us that we love, who trust in Jesus. We think about standing before the throne of God, seeing the streets lined with gold, things like that. But have you ever thought about what won't be in heaven? There are a lot of things. Mosquito bites, yeah. Stomach viruses, traffic jams, stubbed toes, lost socks, paper cuts, hitting your funny bone. That won't ever happen again. There's no proof for this one, but I believe it's true. Taco Bell, gone, you know? Those emails that you get from that Nigerian prince who has a $10 million inheritance for you, he just needs $10,000 to release that. It's administrative cost. Like, all of that will be gone. There are certain things that will be gone forever once the day of the Lord is here. There are also other things that will be gone forever. Abusers, human traffickers, corrupt politicians, thieves, terrorists, drug cartels, con artists, swindlers, dictators, kidnappers, all of them will be gone. They will meet God's justice. The bad will end. Now, of course, we pray that they will change. Of course, we pray that God will save them. Of course, we pray that they will have a change of heart, that they will turn from their sin and turn to Jesus and be forgiven in him. And we share the gospel with these people so that they can know the love of God and they can respond in faith. That's what we hope for. But if they don't, they will face God's wrath. The bad will end. So when you face the bad in life, and you will, maybe it will be people that are consumed by hate or greed or selfishness or arrogance or corruption. When you face the bad in life and makes your life worse, makes your life harder, makes your life hurt more, when you face that, you can still have encouragement because you know that one day the bad will end. One day you will never have to deal with any bad ever again. What an encouragement. The bad will end when the day of the Lord is here. So that's the first encouragement that we find in the day of the Lord. There's a second. It's number two, the good will enjoy. Now we can be honest in here. What we just talked about kind of sounds like bad news to us. Right? The fact that the bad will end, it kind of sounds like a downer to talk about that. And we're looking for something positive. We want something uplifting when we come to church. We don't want going to church to be like going to the tax office. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to leave going, well, now I feel worse than when I showed up. You know, Thanks a lot, Sean. That was as uplifting as a parachute made of bricks. I should have just stayed home and watched football. We don't want you to feel that way. You don't want to feel that way. You want to be encouraged. You want something positive. Well, look with me at Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. On the day of the Lord, the bad will end. But that's not all. This gives us something more. It says that those who fear God's name, that is those who trust in Jesus, those who are now part of God's family, those who have experienced God's grace, or in other words, the good, it says that on the good, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Now that is really good news. That is what we long for. That is encouraging. Let's just think about that promise for a second. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. How many of us need healing? How many of us have been through things in life, are going through things right now, will go through things in the future that make us see that we need healing? Your health is failing. Your relationships are broken. Your heart hurts from things that you have seen. You feel damaged by what's been done to you. Your life isn't what you hoped it would be at this point. Your body aches. You feel hostage to your addiction. Your depression or anxiety seems to rule over you. Your heart is still broken from losing a loved one. Your view of yourself is damaged from what other people, the way that they have treated you. If we're not closing our eyes to it, all of us know, all of us see that we need healing. Well, friend, one day Jesus will return and he will set all things right. He will rise with healing in his wings. So listen to me. You will be healed. That if you have faith in Jesus, you will be healed by Jesus. You will be healed as every sad thing becomes untrue. Jesus will set all things right, and the good will enjoy healing. Not long ago, I talked to someone who was about to retire, and I asked, "Why are you retiring?" That person told me, "You know, I've been working since I was about 10 years old, and I'm just tired. You know, I'm older, I don't have the energy anymore, I'm tired of it, and I just want to enjoy my life." Maybe that's you. Not just with work, maybe you are worn out from life. Maybe you're tired from all that's happened to you, and maybe you have lost your joy in life. When Jesus returns, this verse says, you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. When Jesus comes back, life won't be a slog anymore. You won't just be getting through your days. You won't be worn out all the time. You won't look back to when things were better back then. None of that will be true. No, you will go out and playfully jump. That means that you'll actually have fun. You imagine that? You will enjoy your life. You will enjoy what you are doing. The joy of life will return to you. That's what you will experience if you have faith in Jesus. The good will enjoy. Now, friend, I know that something will probably happen to you today or this week or this year that will leave you frustrated and defeated. Another bill will show up that you didn't expect. A relationship will be more strained than ever. More bad news about your health will arrive. That timeline for what you want to be done will get pushed back again. Something like that will happen, and when it happens, it will try to steal the wind out of your sails. It will try to steal your joy. It will try to discourage you. But remember this, on the day of the Lord, the good will enjoy. We will enjoy peace. We will enjoy life forever with Jesus. So set your eyes on that day. Look to what God will do in the future. Look to what you will experience when He returns and find encouragement in it. The good will enjoy. That's the second encouragement that we find. Then there's a third encouragement. It is number three. All things will be right. All things will be right. Look with me one more time at Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. That description there is about things being set right, about justice being done, about all things being as they should be. And something that we have all experienced at one time or another is being taken advantage of by someone else. You've had that experience, right? Maybe it was a boss at work that blamed you for something that wasn't your fault, it was actually their fault. Or maybe it was a friend who borrowed money and never paid you back. Or maybe you fought and fought with your insurance, but they refused to cover your losses. Or maybe that contractor that you hired never finished the job, but they took all your money anyway. Maybe a business misled you with all of these hidden fees that you didn't realize until after you had signed something. And when that happened, here's what you felt. This isn't right. Have you felt that in your soul before? This isn't right. I bought a pair of sunglasses one time, and they were kind of expensive. You know, they were not way better than all the other sunglasses, but here was the thing. They were expensive because they had this warranty that came with them. It was a lifetime warranty. So you knew that if your sunglasses broke, well, you could send them in, and they would fix them for free because it was part of the lifetime warranty. It made it worth the cost of the sunglasses. So a few years after I bought the sunglasses, that company was bought out by another company. And that new sunglasses company informed all of the owners of these sunglasses that they would not honor the warranty that the customers were sold. You know what I felt? That's not right. Wouldn't you feel that way? That's not right. So I went back and I read the warranty. And this is what it said about the lifetime part of it. By lifetime, we mean until the owner dies. Or until we change our mind. That's what it said. Well, didn't actually say it. I felt that way. It's not right. That's how I felt. That's how you have felt before. And we are right to feel that way. Things are not right in this world. But on the day of the Lord, all things will be right. The wicked will fall, as this verse has described. The righteous will rise. All the things that are not right now will be made right then. And then things will be right forever and ever and ever. All things will be right. There will be no more sin, no more effects of sin, no more hurt. All things will be right. Don't you look forward to that? Aren't you encouraged by it? One of my favorite passages in all of the Bible is from the book of Revelation. And it describes what we will inherit if we have faith in Jesus, the new heavens and the new earth, what we will enjoy forever. It's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And here's what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." That is a vision of what we will inherit. That is a vision of what will begin to happen on the day of the Lord. Don't you look forward to that? Don't you long for that? On the day of the Lord, all things will be right forever. The longer you live, the more you see that things aren't right. People use power for their own gain instead of for the good of the people that put them there. Those who do wrong seem to get away without any consequence. Cheaters win, and those who play fair seem to lose. And then more generally, we see that absolutely devastating storms wipe entire towns off the map. And we see cancer take the lives of children who haven't even really had a chance to live yet. And as you see this, as you see that things aren't right, you need to look to the day of the Lord. When that day comes, all things will be right. No more corruption, no more cancer, no more sorrow, no more storms, no more sin. On the day of the Lord, all things will be right. Be encouraged by that. All things will be right. That is the third and final encouragement that we see from these verses. So, friend, the end is near. The day of the Lord is coming. And as we live in a broken world, as we eagerly await that day, let's look forward to it. And as our eyes are set on that day, let's find encouragement, because the bad will end, the good will enjoy, and all things will be right. That is encouraging. Are you encouraged by it? Are your eyes set on the day of the Lord? Or are you just discouraged by everything that is wrong in the here and now? Friend, look to the day of the Lord and find encouragement in it. But when we talk about the day of the Lord, it can sometimes feel like it's this pie in the sky, naive, childlike optimism. You know what I mean? Like, we can look to it and it feels like we're just dreaming, just hoping that one day things will be better. And as we're looking to it, something happens in our lives, something terrible, and it brings us back down to earth. And when that happens, we can go, you know, I hope that one day the day of the Lord will come, and I hope that that day will be great, but that really doesn't give me much right now. It doesn't encourage my heart. It's something far off that I want to count on, but it's not going to help me right now. And that fact shows us something that we need to remember. We can't find true encouragement in the day of the Lord until we look to Jesus, who is the Lord. The Bible tells us that no one is good. There is not one, not me, not you. No one is good. We have all sinned. And for our sin, because we are bad because of our sin, we deserve the righteous judgment of God. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Out of love for us, God sent his son Jesus to pay for our sin with his life. Even though we are bad and we deserve God's judgment, Jesus paid the price for us. He took our badness on the cross. This has been called the great exchange. On the cross, Jesus took our bad and he gave us his good. Jesus took our bad and made us good in him. He died for our sins so that we could be good in the eyes of God forever. And if we are good, if we are covered in Jesus' goodness, then we will enjoy a perfect world where there is peace and joy with him forever and ever. That is our hope. If we look to Jesus, then we have true encouragement in the day of the Lord. You know, Jesus didn't just die. He was in the grave, and on the third day, he rose up from the grave, showing his victory over sin and death. And in his resurrection, he began setting all things right. And if you have faith in him, on the day of the Lord, you will see that he is setting all things right, that it will be completed, and you will receive eternal life with him in a perfect world forever. So look to the sacrificial death and the glorious resurrection of Jesus and find encouragement in it, because on the day of the Lord, your Savior will come back and he will make all things perfect. Do you trust in him? Is your faith in Jesus? If not, you will face the terrifying judgment of God for your sin on the day of the Lord. You deserve God's judgment for your sin, but God offers you hope. You see, he sent his son Jesus to pay for our sin. So come to God now. Receive this forgiveness. Say, Lord, I know I have done wrong. I know I am a sinner. But forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you believe that in your heart, your sins will be forgiven. And you will receive eternal life with Jesus forever. Do you trust him? If not, then this is your moment. Trust in him now. Put your faith in him in this moment. If you would like to do that and you have questions about it, you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be saved by Jesus, we're going to sing a song here in just a second. And I'm going to be standing right down here waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. Let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. I'm going to be standing down here as everybody else is leaving. Come as everybody else is walking out. Let's talk about what it means to experience salvation in Jesus. But do not leave here today without trusting him and being saved in him. Christian, the day of the Lord is coming. Don't fear it. Instead, find encouragement in it because Jesus, your Savior, is coming back. This is not something that we just believe in our heads. It's something that transforms our hearts. If we truly believe it in our hearts, then it will cause us to celebrate this day. And so how we are going to end the service today is we are going to sing joyously about our Savior. And as we sing, I hope that you look to the day of the Lord. You look to your Savior who is coming back, and your heart is filled with joy, and you cry out his praises. Be encouraged by the day of the Lord and respond by singing of his glories. So I'm going to pray, and we are going to sing. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that we have hope. Thank you that the day of the Lord is coming, and that on that day, we will experience your peace. We will experience your joy. We will experience justice in Jesus. Pray, Lord, as we are discouraged in this world, as we see so many things that are messed up, as we see things that break our hearts, as we are taken advantage of by other people, I pray, Lord, that we would look to you. We would look to the day of the Lord, and we would find encouragement. If there's anyone in here who does not trust in you, Lord, may they respond in faith now. May they come to you and find hope in Jesus. May they receive this gift of grace and find eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Let it be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.